Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induwa Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chedi. Over the past few weeks, I've been looking at the poverty gospel, and the reason I'm doing this particular series is because whenever people criticize the prosperity gospel, people who are in the prosperity gospel usually push back and say, well, the Bible also doesn't teach the poverty gospel, except that that's not really true. So I've been looking at a few scriptures that actually seem to be teaching the poverty gospel. And if you've missed any of those, you could go to our website, BibleIssues.org, and you could catch up with all of those messages, including today's message. Today, I would like to share a few thoughts from the book of James. So I'll read quite a few scriptures. And essentially, in the book of James, there was a lot of tension between the rich and the poor, not just in the church that James wrote to, but in the wider society. There was a culture where the rich took advantage of the poor, they oppressed them, sometimes they withheld wages, and there was a general belief that if you are wealthy, you have the favor of God, and if you are not wealthy, you don't have the favor of God. And that belief started to trickle into the church as well. That's a belief that even the disciples of Christ had, because when Jesus was finished with the rich young ruler, they were all shocked. And they couldn't believe if this guy, who is rich, famous, and influential, and powerful, couldn't be saved, then who could be saved? That was their thinking. And today, we have the prosperity gospel, where a lot of popular teachers teach, if you really have faith in God, you will be prosperous, you will have perfect health, and whatnot. So James came out very hard against that particular mentality. It's the same mentality that's behind the prosperity gospel. James knocked them really hard. There are five chapters in the book of James, and in four chapters, he comes out very hard with his guns blazing against the rich. Right? So we're going to look at a few of these scriptures today. So the first one we're going to read is from James chapter 2. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and you say to him, you sit in this good place, and you say to the poor man, stand here or sit at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So the first thing that James has to say about the rich and the poor is that we as Christians should not show favoritism. We should not employ worldly thinking in the church. We are supposed to be different. And although the world values people who are rich as opposed to people who are poor, he's saying in the church, we are not supposed to be like that. And let's be real. We all show that kind of favoritism. If a celebrity gets saved, we think that's a big deal. Whenever a politician visits the church, he gets priority seating, VIP seating. There are many ways in which we show partiality. Now, let's go down to verse 5, which is the bombshell scripture. Listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? He is saying here, God chose the poor of this world to be rich in faith. And that scripture is powerful because it blows away the whole philosophy behind the prosperity gospel in one sentence. God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. Now, I know some of you may be saying, aha, but he chose them to be rich. He wants the poor to be rich. Listen to the scripture. Poor of this world, rich in faith. He chose the poor of this world, people who are considered to be underprivileged, And he chose them to be rich, not just rich in money, rich in faith. So whether they ever become rich in this world is beside the point. He chose them to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised. Now let me also read a few verses from James chapter 1. He says, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as the flower of the field he will pass away, so the rich man will also fade away in his pursuits." I mean, very strong scriptures. What James is trying to communicate here is that our earthly situation is temporal, and it is not a reflection of our standing before God. Jesus gave a very similar parable in Luke chapter 16, where he talks about a rich man who lived in luxury and a beggar called Lazarus. But when they were dead, the rules were reversed. The rich man was in hell and Lazarus was in heaven in the bosom of Abraham. And of course, that doesn't mean that all rich people will go to hell and all poor people will go to heaven. That's not the point at all. The point is that our circumstances in this life are not a reflection of our standing before God. And it is certainly not a representation of what our circumstances will be like in heaven. It could very well be reversed. That is another death blow against the prosperity gospel. Because the prosperity gospel makes things like material prosperity and physical health a representation of your faith and your standing before God. But this scripture is saying no. It's the opposite. Whatever you have in this life is not a representation of your standing before God. Now, James does have advice for rich people as well. In chapter 4, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." There are a number of things that he's teaching in this particular verse. One is that we cannot be independent of God. And if you're trying to live your life in thinking that you are independent of God, you are mistaken. Because you may think it is your hard work or your wise investments that made you rich. And maybe you're right to an extent, but there are other things that you're not seeing. You probably had a head start in life. You probably had parents who support you. You probably started off with some kind of financial prosperity and you simply built on that. And James is saying, had it not been for God, all of those things could be different and they could still be different. We cannot be independent of God. Submit to his will and his authority. And then the next thing that we could gather from this is that life does not consist of the abundance of things. These things just appear for a while and they could vanish away tomorrow. The book of Proverbs talks about wealth as something that could just take up wings and leave. You don't know if you could get a health crisis and all of your money goes to nothing. We are supposed to live for God, live according to his will. Yes, prosperity is good, it has a place, but it is not the be-all and end-all of Christianity. Let's look at one last portion of scripture from chapter 5. After spending 4 chapters knocking rich people, you would think that James would say at this point, well, you know, it is not so bad to be rich, and he would give the other side of the story. No, he continues even further. "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days." Next piece of advice he gives to rich people, do not hoard. Remember, Jesus gave a parable about a rich man who hoarded and he built barns and silos to hoard all of his wealth. And God said to him, "You fool, today your life will be required of you." Of course, we have to save money. That's important. But there's a difference between saving and hoarding. especially when there are people who are in need, who are in genuine need, and you're choosing to hoard your money instead of being a blessing to somebody else. It is a fine line between saving money and hoarding money. There is a big difference, and that is something that you need to prayerfully consider. He goes on in James chapter 5, "Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, they cry out, and the cries of the reaper have reached the ears of the Lord. And you have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury, and you have fattened your heart as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just." He's talking about those who oppressed the poor and took advantage of them and used them as free labor, cheap labor, to get ahead in life, and they're not giving them what is due. It is one thing to not give to the poor. It is another thing to steal from the poor by withholding payments or by defrauding them in some way. Instead, if God has blessed you with a lot of money, you have to be able to identify where there's a genuine need and give generously. Not give in order to receive, but give because you want to be a blessing to somebody else. Give when there are no cameras on you. Give when nobody is watching, so that your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand is doing. That's the kind of mindset that distinguishes a genuine believer from somebody who is just going to church. There are many rich people who are just in church because they feel if they give to the pastor, that is some good luck charm for their business. Many of them give money to these TV preachers. And if you Google some of them, just Google any one of their names, net worth. You will see that these guys have a net worth of $30, $50, $100 million. And you are giving to them. You're not blessing anyone. God has blessed you with financial prosperity, and instead of using it to bless His kingdom and those who really need it, you are using it to fatten rich people. And there is a scripture that says, "Woe unto those who steal from the poor to get rich, who oppress the poor to get rich, and to those who give to the rich." There is actually a scripture, Proverbs 22 verse 16, condemns those who will give to the rich. Yet you have all of these TV preachers fattening their pockets with church money, and you would give to them when they are genuine people in your church who do not even know where their next meal is coming from. That is a sin. And James is knocking rich people really hard because of that. There are many principles in the Bible, especially from the book of Proverbs, that teach us how to get prosperity. And prosperity is not bad. Prosperity has its place. But all of those things depend on your economic circumstances. If you believe that you could open a business in Ukraine right now and you think God will prosper you, you are delusional. It doesn't work that way. When you live in a free capital society where you have opportunities to get ahead, yes, you could apply those principles and get ahead. But in the era in which James lived, the idea of a poor person applying principles and becoming rich, that was unheard of. Chances are that if you were born poor, you would be poor for the rest of your life. And if you were born rich, chances are you would probably be rich for the rest of your life. I mean, you could lose your riches, but it was highly unlikely that a poor person could apply any principles and become rich, because James lived in a very oppressive culture. So that would explain why James doesn't give any strategies on how to become rich. Not only does he knock the prosperity gospel really hard, he doesn't oppose the poverty gospel either. One thing for sure we could conclude from the scripture is that being in Christ does not guarantee riches in this life. God does not consider riches and material prosperity to be an indication of His blessings. Those things are great, and if you have those things, we should use it to be a blessing to God's kingdom and to people who have genuine need.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induo Rampol Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.